Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Good morning.
Favorite Michaels in the world.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's another beautiful day.
It's going to be a good fresh Will. No parties last weekend. You look fresh.
Yeah, you know, good night's sleep and some good sunshine out in Florida. I was going to try to record outside again this week, but of course, on the dot, the lawn maintenance guys showed up and
woke me up right early. A regular schedule, Will.
I know. And it rained like a ton last night, so it's not not very enjoyable outside. So
don't complain. Here was -2 this morning Celsius. It was freezing, so don't complain.
I'm not complaining. I'm just making observations.
It's 75 here today. It's perfect. Perfect fall weather.
Well, perfect fall weather. 75 degrees. Good Lord. that's great.
Welcome to the show, Will.
It's good to see you guys again. I'm excited. We got amazing guest once again. Not only did I get to interview him at the RMA conference in person, it was really good, but Steve Trover from Better Talent is going to be on talking about talent acquisition. What does it mean to really hire right? What's going on in the industry, not just for travel and hospitality, but overall the working force in general. So I'm really excited for that. But anything that you guys have for the good of the order before we jump into a couple of our segments?
No, I think we're going to need all the time today. It's a fun and interesting and challenging topic that plagues us all, and especially in hospitality. So let's get to it.
For sure. Well, I just want to say a quick shout out to our sponsors at Jetstream. Go to jetstreamtech.io. Make sure that you tell them that the GMH guys sent you. We don't have a cool link yet. So it's not like Breezeway. You can go to breezeway.io/GMH. But you can go there, let them know. And we would love to see you guys work with them. So that's a quick shout out. Here we go to, I think we're going to do our startup of the week. We'll go with that one first.
Startup
Yes, this week we have Tier. Actually, they raised $200 million in Series D. I think it's announced today, if I'm correct. So Tier actually raised a huge amount of $200 million in funds. They launched only in 2018. I think in many cities, you see those e-scooters driving around. I think in total, they have 135,000 of them already launched. And I think they're active in 150 cities, 16 countries, I read. So well done. I think they raised in total $660 million already. So $2 billion valuation. So a large unicorn in less than 3 years. So well done. Funded by SoftBank. Well, if you know that SoftBank always doing large tickets, it's not a surprise, but indeed well done. You see a lot of competition in many cities, but still outstanding if you can raise an amount like this. So again, startup of the week is Tier, the e-scooter company, also micromobility company from Germany. So that's the startup of the week. I also want to announce that next week, if we're looking at events, okay, it was before part of the disruption report, but still I'm going to announce it next week. I'm going to be in London on the WTM, also some team members. So somebody's going to be there. Let us know. We can meet in there and we'll be fun. Also, we're planning again our iMeet Hotel conference, the real life session. So as soon as the date, the place is settled, we'll let you know. So if you want to meet next week in London, for sure, I'm going to be there. And let's continue. Thanks.
Hello, always good to see Grandma. So our topic this week on the show is employment and how to retain talent and attract talent and all of that. TUI announced this past week a really innovative concept, which is essentially instead of giving people paid time off, literally paying for their vacation, paying for their next trip, and allowing them to stay even longer and even work from that location. And it got me thinking that it's a genius thing to do. I work in a startup that has unlimited time off. And often that means you don't take much time off. So giving people a paid trip as an employment perk is huge. And I think all of us that are in travel and hospitality have an easier path to doing that than maybe some other companies. So consider that for your next benefits package meeting internally and how you can attract and retain top talent, encouraging them to actually take time off and take their vacations. We all know it's going to produce better results for the company as people will be more refreshed and have things to look forward to. But well done, TUI. I love it.
Great. I love it too. I think the one thing that sucks is that I'm self-employed, so I never get to send myself on a nice little vacation, unlike the TUI employees.
Sure you can, and what's better is you can expense it now.
Amen.
And your job is one big holiday, Will.
All the time. It's just a nonstop holiday.
But it's nice what they announce, and actually it's a bit what you see as a trend. We're giving our employees, if they're booking on Bedroom as well, they have a budget what they can use. So they can spend it actually. Also, it's good. Well, I think it's good that they're using the product by itself, right, first of all. And it's also, you can see that our membership more and more is also used for companies to give us employee benefits instead of that individuals taking membership by themselves. Okay, let's why not buying a collective? It's like our employees get a Bedroom membership for free because we care about when they're working, but we also care about them when they're traveling. So I like this move.
Well, it ties in perfectly. So let's welcome in our amazing guest, Steve Trover from Better Talent. And we're going to jump into this topic in a deeper dive. Steve, welcome to the show, my man.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning. Literally. I love it. We're actually on the same time zone too. So it's nice. I'm not the one that's up at 6 a.m. to do the show.
A lot more refreshed today than normal.
Well, Steve, let's make a quick intro. Your episode is coming up on Slick Talk in a couple weeks, but we got to record in person at VRMA. And so now kind of jump into your background and what Better Talent is. And then we're going to jump into, of course, the topic of talent acquisition and retaining employees.
Okay, great. Yeah, so started in hospitality about 30 years ago, which ages me well. Got into vacation rentals about 25 years ago and had a vacation rental company here based in Orlando where I'm at now for about 20 years. And so had a development arm to that called Purpose Built Vacation Homes. We designed, spec'd, and built. We had an interior design company called Beyond Furnishings, furnished about 500 vacation rental properties over the course of 17 years. And then got into the technology side of the business and developed a proprietary software platform for our company that ultimately became LiveRes, which about 1,000 companies use today to run their businesses. And then I was very involved in the trade associations, was also vice president and president of VRMA for 5 years. So done a lot of different things in the space. Today, run a company called Better Talent, and we help facilitate hiring across hospitality, really focused obviously on the short-term rental, vacation rental space specifically, but do hotels and resorts as well. So that's what we do today. We're a fixed fee hiring platform, so we're not a traditional recruiter, but we help drive applicant flow of the right people for the right seats in an organization.
Awesome. Well, to kick it off, Steve, what's going on right now in employment and especially in hospitality employment?
Yeah, I mean, there's a talent war, quite frankly. And we saw it coming pre-pandemic, just in the sense that it was becoming more and more challenging to find great people for different parts of hospitality. And, you know, hospitality has a challenge. Sometimes people get burnt out and they leave. So a lot of our talent kind of goes and does other things. We jokingly say they go into the private sector and leave, so to speak. But so that was a problem pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic, it's a big challenge. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, frontline roles that just sit empty. And there's a lot of challenges there. And we help our clients in that regard. But also a lot of people that, you know, seemingly were happy in their role pre-pandemic, as things went remote, some companies were not ready for it. And so people left, and some of those positions are hard to fill for those that don't have a good plan for it. And so I think that is a lot to do with it. There's a number of different things that come into play right now that make this challenging. But that's why we've got to be super aggressive in our approach and attracting talent.
Yeah. There's a McKinsey report on the great attrition or the great resignation. There's a lot of fun names around it, but they cite two main reasons why people are leaving. The employees don't feel valued by either their company or their manager, or they don't feel like they belong anymore. Mm-hmm. Is that in line with what you're seeing, or what else are you seeing of why people are leaving? Is
it? Yeah. And I mean, you know, why would they have felt that they belonged before the pandemic and not now? And again, it goes back to some of those companies weren't ready for remote, and things were going more and more remote, you know, pre-pandemic regardless. And a lot of businesses is being done that way, but companies that weren't prepared or had pushed against having remote team members weren't prepared in the sense that they didn't have the tools to properly engage. They didn't have a plan of engagement. And so I think that's, you know, when they say they don't feel like they belong, that's the differentiator right now. Now, does that mean everybody wants to come back in the office? Not necessarily. In fact, when you look at polls of people, in general, employees, if you will, the most common thread is that people want a hybrid of both remote and in office. They want some time in the office and still want to have their time at home. And so companies that are bringing everybody back, for example, and forcing them back in that situation, some of them are finding that that's challenging. Obviously, in hospitality, there are roles that just have to be boots on the ground in office every day. There's nothing you can do about that. So that's not necessarily what's affecting those roles. But anything that can be some part of remote, the hybrid model is what people really, really want.
Yeah. Well, we've seen during the pandemic, it was first pretty stable. We didn't see many people leaving, but you see what happened the last weeks. A lot of rotation. There's a lot of going on. And we have a hybrid model. We have a lot of perks for employees and making it flexible. But still, there's so much going on, and people like now they start searching or they start not applying, or there's so much rotation in there. When during the pandemic, it was for us pretty stable. So it is a bit for us. We have to really find new talent as well. So people watching, feel free to join. But it is tough. It is more tougher than before. And it's like what else can we do, right? We have this hybrid model. repaying okay. I don't know. You don't always have to, which is what we, I think we all know. We don't have us to compete on salaries or if we're just giving stock option, anything. We try to do and attract talent, but still super tough now, more tough than ever before.
Yeah. Well, couple things. People are leaving now, and 40% of people that are leaving don't have another job lined up. Like, they're either want time out, time off because they're burnt out, or they're just super confident that they're going to find another job that they just can't deal with the one they're in right now any longer, which, you know, in times I graduated college in 2010, which was like the bottom of the job market from the 2008-2009 recession. And finding a job was not easy. And now it's, you know,
abundant.
Jobs are everywhere and employees aren't. So it's wild. And then one more comment. I've been remote for 5 years, so I'm used to it. I like it. I want other people back in the office because when I'm remote and everyone else is remote, there is no kind of start and end to the day. And when the people were in the office, there was a start and end to the day. And now that no one is in the office, it's really malleable. And, you know, it, I wish people would get back in the office.
Well, we have, for example, good example.
No interest in being in the office.
We were looking for a new recruiter, right? And maybe we should hire you, Steve. But we were looking for a new recruiter. And then we had one applied, pretty good candidate. It's like, I only want to work remotely. I never want to come to the office. For me, it was pretty difficult because I think as a new employee, you need the culture. You have to know the people, especially when you're working, in my opinion, in HR. A developer could be a bit easier, engineer. And now, of course, we say, okay, it doesn't work for us. We want somebody who come at least sometimes to the office, right? Because you have to understand the culture. And I think especially in HR, when you're working with people and hiring people, I think still understand the culture is pretty important, even though when we're offering hybrid model.
Yeah, there's no question in doing things from a remote basis, though, that can include people. And I'm not just talking about group Zooms or whatnot, but you've got to come up with a strategy. And there's a lot of different stuff online on how to do that. And obviously, there's companies helping facilitate that today from a supplier perspective. But, you know, if you don't have a plan, that is a plan, right? So, and then the other side of this is, and when we say we can't attract people, most of the time when I talk to somebody who's struggling to attract people, I ask them, so what is your plan to attract? It's, you know, throw an ad on Indeed, or it's one dimensional. It's not. And if I ask them what their plan was to attract new customers, they'd have 46 ways they do that, and a marketing budget and a plan and all of that. And yet our biggest challenge right now is not customers. It's the team. Right. And so if you don't have a plan for that, then that is a plan, right? And for you to say, I can't attract people, where you're not doing a very good job. And I know that's not everybody. And so, you know, some companies may have an all encompassing marketing plan as it pertains to people and the execution, and they're still struggling. But if you're not doing it, you probably are, for sure. So, and that's what we work to do is help from a sourcing perspective. And you got to go after passive candidates, not just active candidates looking for a job. And that's the differentiator. And if you're not doing that, and, you know, I think Mike mentioned that, you know, multiple people came up to you at VRMA, and everybody's actively recruiting right now. And that's what should be happening. And if you're not recruiting, people are recruiting your team. So,
yeah. Well, I've even had people say, hey, what would it cost us to get you to go work for us full time outside of the podcast, outside of recreation, like give up everything to come work. And it's like, whoa, this is like active people, like going after other like business owners, like not even just employees and staff members. And the one thing we were talking behind the scenes was pretty interesting, because this is a topic, or at least a segment of the whole like talent acquisition side, but it's getting people to take ownership. And I think Ross mentioned that behind the scenes was, how do you get people to take ownership of a project or even their position, you know, regular duties, when it's like this mix between of, yeah, we're going to be remote, but then we might need you in the office, but then we may never go to the office, or we may always be in the office. Like, how do you manage that side of
the flip side of that, Will, is your team, if they don't feel ownership, they don't want to stay, right?
For sure.
So you have to give them ownership of projects. And if they're not owning them, then they're not the right fit. But
for sure,
you have to empower and enable your team. And when you enable them, you need to enable them to make all of the decisions as well, not just tell them they have an important role and then you're still calling all the shots.
Yeah.
You have to be able to trust your staff. And then if you can't trust your staff, then you hire Steve to find somebody who you can trust.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, that was kind of what I was going into was, you know, what's the best way. But yeah, that's good.
But you think like you will see a more acqui-hire, so just the larger companies just buying the smaller one just to get talent?
Yeah, and we've seen some of that recently for sure, where, you know, if you look at the value that they were buying, a significant portion of that acquisition was the talent side of it. So to your point, it does happen.
Interesting. What's the most innovative like retention or benefits, Steve, that you've seen from some companies?
Well, I like what we were just talking about as far as the paid vacation. I think that is a phenomenal tool. And to the point that was made, we can generally speak in hospitality, we can put that together at a less cost structure for the company than most. And we did, you know, some of that in my companies in the past. And, you know, you want your team to go and experience the product, so to speak, and a lot of them have not. So I think that's a really great tool. But I think right now it goes back to flexibility. And if that's unlimited PTO, if that's more vacation time than you traditionally would have. And frankly, you know, some companies are really tight with vacation time. They just won't let individuals come in. And I would argue that if you give somebody a vacation week, for example, per quarter, they're going to be more productive overall than without it. They just will. And I almost, you know, we practically would force people to take a vacation because otherwise you're going to have burnout and you're going to lose them that way. And so I think it's really, really important to give them what they're looking for in that regard, but almost make sure they do it, right? Because it is a great way to, you know, and they'll appreciate that in a big way, more so than some of the other perks that we see out there. And, you know, I think it's great, you know, gym memberships and all the things that companies throw. But the reality is, I don't think those move the needle as much as this PTO or paid vacation type concept. I think people want time off more than anything else. The other thing they want is they want to know that founder or CEO or the leadership team is heavily involved, and they're going to know that they are a part of a team that is moving forward in a cohesive manner and that they're connected with that team. And so, you know, so many companies, when they go to market, they want to just put a laundry list of perks. But if you're not speaking to what the value prop of working for your company is at the beginning of a job ad, let's say, then you're not going to attract the people that are really looking for that. Right. And so a lot of companies have a great, you know, culture. They just don't speak to it, and they're marketing for people. And I think that it's really important that you have that employer brand out front before you tell them what they're going to do and how much you're going to pay them for it, if that makes sense. So attract people first with the culture and the business that they're going to be involved in and get them excited about that, and then go into the details.
Yeah, 100%. And you said something that I've long wondered about for the past two jobs I've been in. It's been unlimited time off, which in many cases means like fewer than 2 weeks a year. Just
right.
You just don't take it. I love the idea of forced vacation. Like banks do it. Banks force you to take 2 weeks of vacation a year. Like we're in the vacation industry. We all know how important vacations are. Like, why are we not forcing our companies, our employees to take vacations?
Exactly.
Whether it's a minimum of 2 weeks a year or a minimum of 4 weeks a year, like why are we not forcing it?
I think there's a hard time like of unplugging just because of stuff like this, you know, like you are constantly available. Granted, like, yeah, you can turn off your notifications for Slack and your email and all this other stuff. But I still think like, even when I'm on vacation, I'm still like,
back. You know, it's adding up, you know, it's just backing up.
You have your device. Also, the mix between private and business has changed, right? Before it was just an email you can get a call, but now you get your whatever, your WhatsApp or your other services. And if a remote notification from your colleague arrives, you're just going to read it, right? And if there's an action needed, you're just going to do it. So I think this whole, of course, it is changed already. And I think it's also more from nowadays. But another thing what's actually surprised me, because I remember when I was young, of course, you just want to work for a company, right? You're applying actively and it's like, this will be the great employee. I think now it is changing. You want people to work for you. And then I think it's shifting a lot. And it surprised me actually before as well. We saw a lot of people applying actually. Now we actually have to recruit people. And I'll just say 5 years ago, people were just applying because they want to work for us. Of course, it's still happening, but you just have to search so much harder. Is it my concern is a bit, but maybe you think differently, but is it the end that the companies are almost not deciding anymore what to offer, but the employees are going to say, I want this, and otherwise I'm just going to go somewhere else. And before it was different, right? You just offer them something, it was a yes or no. And now it's turned around, and just they come with the rules and with the conditions.
Yeah, it's such an interesting time right now. Like, it's wild. And to be, I mean, I think we all kind of feel that we're on this precipice of a recession potentially. Mm-hmm. And for this many people to be resigning with that kind of looming is super interesting.
Well, as CEO and founder of a company, it is tough, right? Because you have to balance it. The other hand, you just don't want to say we're going to increase everybody's salary just to keep the talent. You have to find a balance because, of course, you also have to make sure. So this balance, for me, it is tough, right? To find a balance, okay, finding, keeping people. But yeah, it's not whatever it costs, right? It's also finding a balance there. The other hand, you want to recruit new people. You can see, of course, the market is changing. And yeah, you see the employment costs are getting up, right? As soon as you're giving somebody some changes there, everybody was okay there. And Holland always say, if you give somebody one finger, they take your whole hand, right? So, and then it's a bit concerning what you see now in the market, right? You see that if one engineer tried to get a raise, his colleagues say, hey, I saw that he's got a raise. And what is my situation? Before you know, you have 50 people in front of your door.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Costs get changed quite a bit. You hire new people with new benefits packages, and then you have to retro it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive.
The balance is tough, right? And again, I fully agree. You have to take them with you in your journey, and of course, they have to feel. We had a long discussion about it today. We work on a new strategy, and say, okay, how can we really make sure that they are just following our directions and the strategy, and they are just aware, right? And they're engaged in what we're doing. And it's not always easy. Last 6 months was a crazy period within the company, and direction we went to, and now it is more clear. But I think, yeah, for sure, it has some impact that people left our company because the directions were a bit unclear, maybe in the last months, right? So I think indeed we saw it as well. Like, they need clarity, they need a future in front of them, they know what is the direction of the company. I think you have a good point there.
100%.
Steve, I have a question for you, just to wrap it up for this episode. Is what's the I guess big ways that leaders in companies, whether it's a founder, CEO, or just even, the top, C-suite, staff, how are they keeping the team engaged? Like, that's what I want to know. What are the constant, best ways of keeping a team, whether they're remote or in office, engaged in the culture, engaged in the vision, engaged, because you don't want to beat it to death, right? You don't want to be like, we have great culture, but then your staff is drowning in work. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious what you've seen.
Yeah, we're a big fan of EOS, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System out of the book Traction. And
yep, love that
in book. That book, and we did, for years we've been doing EOS implementations now. We don't do it today. We're pretty focused on the hiring part of the business, but still highly recommend it to every single client. And the reason is it inherently keeps people and teams engaged, right? And so you have your weekly meeting and the right structure. And in that meeting, you make decisions through the vision and through the core principles that guide the business. And that inherently keeps people together. You also have a scheduled quarterly offsite for the leadership team. And then within, various teams within the organization, you do the same. And so having that quarterly touch point where it's face to face and you guys are together for a couple days, that weekly set meeting where we have accountability in the business, because a big part of this is people do not like to be on teams where everybody's not working collectively to get things done. And if somebody's left to their own accord or they're not pulling their weight, that really grinds on the other part of the team. And so when companies are executing collectively together in a cohesive manner, people want to be on that team. When they're not, they don't. It's as simple as that. And so I think, you know, we talk about all, you know, fluff and things we could do to attract and foosball tables and all that. People want to be aligned with another, you know, with a group of people that are all working together cohesively to get to a goal. End of story. If you've got that, you're going to have plugged in people that want to work there.
Steve, I want to put you on the spot here, and then we'll move into a segment where we all put each other on the spot. But who is the best company in the hospitality industry at your experience in doing that?
The best company in the hospitality industry in doing that. Yeah, that's really putting me on the spot. You know, I don't have a good, strong answer for that. We have a lot of clients that I would love to call out right now, but the other clients will get upset at me, so I'm not going to say that. There's a number of companies that are doing it really well, and those are the ones that have been that started a while ago, and they did not stop. And a lot of people will do something like EOS or, you know, we do behavioral profiling within companies, and that helps them to understand each other. And our clients that do that really well with us and really engage in it are the ones that are the best. And so who's the best? I honestly don't have an answer to that, but there are a number of them that have made a decision to do this and do it well. They're all doing, they're the best companies in their markets every single time. And it's not because they have better tech or better properties or whatever it is. It's because they have the best people working together.
Yep.
End of story.
I like that.
So.
All right. And then the last time we put you on the spot, we do quick rapid fire. So I'll fire off a couple of quick questions and then Ross and Will do the same.
Okay.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Morning person or night owl?
Morning. That's beach changed.
Beach or mountain?
What's that?
Beach or mountain?
Ooh, mountain.
Fly or drive?
Drive.
Marriott or Hilton?
Hilton.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. I want to ask Marriott or Delta. I had this question, just wrote it down, Marriott or Delta. Because can you choose, Michael? I'll ask you, Marriott or Delta?
Delta.
Okay.
You say Marriott or Delta? They're two different. But
I know, but he has to choose. He's always talking about those two. So
yeah.
Okay. Airplanes is the one that gets me there the fastest. I don't care about the brand. So
Spirit Booking Airlines.
Booking or Expedia.
What's that?
Booking or Expedia.
Ooh, Expedia.
Airbnb or Vrbo?
Vrbo.
Cap or hat?
What was it?
Cap or hat?
Hat.
He's American. Will?
Tacos or cheeseburgers?
I don't eat cheese, so tacos with no cheese.
Okay. Beer or cocktail?
Cocktail.
Hotel or vacation rental?
Seriously.
Okay. Let's all, Max or Lewis?
What is it?
Is Max or Lewis?
Americans don't pay attention to Formula One, Ross.
You see, yeah, curious, that's why I'm asking. I want to see if he knows them because last weekend was the F1 in Austin in the US, right? And they were just on TV saying American people now love Formula One. So I was curious if he knows it. No,
I do. I just don't watch TV so enough to be but I grew up.
They said since it was on Netflix, they said every American loves Formula One now. It's like become big because of Netflix. So I was curious if you would know, but you see, it's still not.
Just don't even watch TV. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Will, you got the last question of the day. The brand.
This is actually where I dropped the ball, guys. I didn't get that one this morning. So
pulling up now.
I am. I'm looking. I'm trying to find one that we haven't done before.
At the end of every week. Of the top six hotel flags, they represent 120 brands. So we always do a guess the flag with the brand.
All right. That's going to be tough. Yeah.
My track record, I'm like 1 for 5, 1 for 6. Pretty bad. Ross is a little bit better, but he's from the hotel side. So let's see. Let's see your knowledge of hotels. Don't pull it up. Okay. Don't
okay. be and, yeah, you. Hand check. So I don't have a picture for it, but it's Event Hotel. Event Hotel.
Event Hotel.
I saw it.
I'll guess
IG.
Marriott.
Marriott IG.
IG.
Steve got it. Steve got it. It's wow. is Marriott.
And I'm retired at one for one. So there you go.
There we go.
Was that all right, Steve? Was that a guess or was that knowledge?
That was absolutely a guess. I just figured they had probably the most amount of brands. So I, you know,
they do.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. They're in the top. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Steve, for being on the show this week. And we're really excited to see what you guys are doing. Obviously, we're linking your company in the show notes for everyone who's listening and following. And then we'll see you guys again next week.
All right. See you guys.